Listening Dog Media.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to Outside Centre, a brand new rugby podcast just in time for the Guinness Women's Six Nations, where we break down the notoriously complicated sport that is rugby union. And by we, I mean me, Robbie James, alongside World Cup winner and five-time Six Nations winner Vicky Fleetwood. Hello.
Hello.
And England and GB Sevens star Ellie Boatman.
Hello.
Hello to you both. How lovely to see you. This is exciting. Where does this rank in terms of pre-match nerves, Vicky?
I mean, in the latter stages of me playing, that was one of the reasons though I didn't actually carry on, was I wasn't getting nervous. I wasn't getting that excitement and the enjoyment of playing. So, yeah, I'm probably a little bit more nervous about doing this than I am about playing.
Okay. And Ellie?
Yeah, I don't know. I had quite a few butterflies, actually. I get quite nervous for, like, media stuff around game days and things. Like, I find when I'm on the pitch, I kind of just block everything out. So I don't get nervous when I'm out there. But definitely before, I get a little bit nervous. But media stuff definitely freaks me out way more.
I get. That's weird you say that. I get nervous for weird stuff. So I won't get nervous for this. But then if I'm going to get my hair cut, I'll get nervous because I won't know if I'm going to have my hair cut by someone who wants to talk to me loads.
They also probably don't really care because I think they ask the same question to every single person. So they have like a script that they kind of ask to everyone that sits
exactly
in the chair.
Exactly it. That is exactly it. Anyway, let's get Arsenal talk over with, shall we? And get on with the podcast. Coming up in the first episode of Outside Centre, we are going to preview the Six Nations, which kicks off this weekend. It is very, very exciting. We will go through all the teams and sort of bring you up to speed with what to look out for and who to look out for and stuff like that. We will also try and explain sort of rugby terms, because the whole point of sort of doing this podcast is that we want to try and basically debug the myth that rugby is the most complicated sport in the world and there are loads of rules and there are loads of people and no one really knows what's going on. So we want to try and sort of debug that myth. So we'll go through some rugby terms, try and explain them. I won't explain them. Vicky and Ellie will explain them. And of course, we need to get to know you guys as well. We need to get to know Vicky and we need to get to know Ellie as well. So the whole point of doing this podcast, right, is kind of like the name suggests. Now, I don't know what we think about the name Outside Centre, because I am aware that neither of you in respective playing careers really play outside centre, which is a position, by the way. But I kind of, the point is, we're kind of taking an outsider's view. How does that sit with you both?
I have actually had a little dabble at outside centre before, so I'm not against that. But I like the concept behind it. I think we're trying to get more people into women's rugby and, like you said, making it kind of a friendly podcast and not necessarily so noisy. So hopefully that will attract more people to women's rugby.
I also think you didn't want to call it like hooker.
Yeah.
And people, because there's a bit like when I played hooker, there was so many people would like make innuendos.
Oh, I bet.
Or loose head. That's another term, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wrapping the brand.
Although I've got loose heads. Loose heads t-shirt on today.
Do you want to go straight in? You have got a loose heads t-shirt. Want to explain what that is all about?
So just, yeah, one of the mental health charities that is obviously to do with rugby is the loose heads one. It's got the sticks, the well-known kind of logo, little bit of rugby charity vibe.
You've actually really branded. Done me over there, because I'm supposed to be an ambassador as well, and Rob's going to be fuming that I'm also not wearing the t-shirt, so thanks for that.
You just don't care about the cause, Ellie, do you?
I do. I really do. I do my tri celebration for loose heads.
Oh, wait, let's get straight into that. Sorry. Explain.
So if I score a try when I play, yeah. I put my hand up like an L shaped, and that's for loose heads and for this little girl called Livy, who used to come to all my games. And she's just this young girl who's like really enthusiastic about rugby and was a bit of a super fan. So I do L for loose heads and L for Livy, basically. That's where that's come from.
What a brilliant thing. Have you ever, I don't mean to sort of take it away from you. Have you ever forgotten to do it? And then sort of had to, you've been like halfway through the second half or something and then been like, oh, I didn't do it.
100% all the time, especially when you're blowing and you're just like, I just want to crawl back to the halfway line and not worry about anything right now.
You're not even smiling that you've like scored. Like... You're just like,
ah. Shall we, let's get to know both of you, shall we? Because for anyone that is sort of maybe just popped this podcast on because it came up in your feed or whatever, or you saw it on social, you might be here because you kind of, you're starting at a very low base level of rugby. So let's get to know Vicky Fleetwood and Ellie Boatman. We'll start with Vicky and Ellie. If this is all right with you, we're going to make Vicky feel absolutely awfully embarrassed right now, because I've got some numbers in front of me, because your career in rugby union is done and dusted, Vicky, from the playing side. But some numbers to rattle off here. You ready for this? One Rugby World Cup, 5 Six Nations titles, 4 Grand Slams, which means winning every game in the Six Nations, 1 Commonwealth Games medal, 82 England appearances, including 14 tries, and 2 Premier 15s titles, which is the domestic league in England, or was the domestic league in England. How uncomfortable did that make you feel, Vicky?
So uncomfortable. I hate all that kind of stuff.
But it's amazing. The point is, yeah, you had an incredible England career spanning over many a year, and it came to an end, obviously sort of announced your retirement last year, but you're kind of like, what are you, like a year into proper retirement now?
So I'd actually made the decision quite a long time before I did retire that I was going to, and then I got quite a nasty injury, so then kind of went through all of the rehab and everything trying to get that right, and then announced my retirement. So it's actually been quite a long time, other than that, those two Barbarians games, since I've actually played week in, week
out. And I guess, is, like, Ellie, for you, you must have been, because you're a bit younger, right? Growing up, Vicky Fleetwood must have been someone that you watched loads, right?
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Again, I don't mean to make you sound old, Vicky.
No, 100%. Like, Fleeto was definitely always a big role model in the women's game. Sorry, I'm going to embarrass you now as well.
This is just as embarrassing.
Like when you talked about women's rugby when I was younger, like pretty much everyone knew who Vicky Fleetwood was and still is. But no, like I feel like everything that a rugby player should be is what you've encompassed. So I've definitely always looked up to Fleeto, and I will stop embarrassing you now.
Oh, that's really sweet. Oh, thank
lovely.
You.
When did you first meet each other?
We both played at Saris quite a few years ago now. And I actually always used to, like at training, Ellie would tear up and then for some reason not be put in the first team. And I was like, how is she not making this first team? I do not understand, because she is incredible.
Fleeto was probably one of the nicest people to me. Like, you never ever looked down on me. You always helped me. Like, you were such a good role model for all the development players. So yeah, Fleeto was always lovely to me.
And that must be also like really mad, going in suddenly you've like watched Vicky Fleetwood throughout, you know, like growing up and stuff a little bit, and then you go and sit in the changing room, and like do the experienced players like all corrugate in their little corner, and then you have like a seat the other side with all the other young ones? How does that work?
You're always going to naturally have sort of groups of people who are closer together and spend more time together, but like I said, Fleeto would like be the first person to speak to everyone.
Can you attest to that, Vicky?
I think I just would try that little bit harder with, especially with the newer players, the younger players, maybe those who weren't as confident, because I've kind of been on that side before. And especially when I first was in like the England team, they used to say like, until you've got 10 caps, you're not allowed to speak.
What?
And things like that. And I was like, what? Okay. I know obviously they were joking, but like they would make comments like that where you'd just be a bit taken aback, like, okay, I'll just sit here and not say anything, get my head down and just crack on with training. And yeah, I just think times have changed hugely since, like massively since then, like when we first kind of broke into like that senior squad.
It's nice. It's quite sweet that things have changed now, and look at you blossoming. And you mentioned seven. We will have heard sevens and 15s terms there. Let's explain that, because we can quite nicely segue into Ellie. So 15s is like, it's a rugby union sort of the standard form is 15 players aside, right? And they play for 80 minutes. Then you have what I like to think of as like the T20 version of rugby union, the quick, unbelievably high intense version, which is sevens, right, Ellie? And seven aside, shorter games, and you are absolutely smashing it with England and Team GB. So let's get into you. Can you first sort of explain to us a bit about sevens? Because lots of people will hear that term and not really know what it means.
I'm fully professional and contracted with the seven aside version of the game. So literally seven players, 7 minutes per half, so 40 minutes in total with a 2 minute half time, and it's savage, like you said. Lots of sprinting, everyone's super quick. It still can be really physical as well. But yeah, the seven aside version of the game basically plays on a World Series. And it's just changed. So we now go to 8 different stops a year around the world. So I just came back from LA and Vancouver the other week, and I'm hopefully going to Hong Kong at the end of this month. And we play against lots of different countries like New Zealand, Australia, countries you wouldn't see so much in the 15-sided game, which I find quite cool. So countries like Brazil, Japan, Spain are all really, really competitive on the series as well. So yeah, we play each other different pools every tournament, and then you gain so many points. And then at the end of the year, there's like a relegation zone with the bottom four, and you play off there. So that's kind of sevens in a nutshell. So that is that's where I'm contracted. That's my priority with Great Britain sevens. And then I do also play 15s. I'm a winger in 15s and currently play with Ealing Trailfinders in the PWR. And I do love 15s as well, but right now sevens is kind of a bit more of the priority. And there is a little Olympics this summer in Paris, so hopefully that is the...
Oh, she addressed the elephant in the room herself.
That is the aim this year, is to get selected and hopefully go to Paris and hopefully win a medal. So
I'm so pleased you brought it up, because I wanted to mention it. Yeah, I mean, for anyone that doesn't know, the Olympics are happening this summer. They're happening in Paris, and of course, sevens rugby is part of that. So, I mean, there were two things that were worth clearing up. Just because there's seven people on the pitch doesn't mean the pitch is any smaller. I think this is the thing that people often think. They think, oh, it must be half the size of the pitch. Then it's a football pitch. It's a rugby pitch. It's the massive.
Yeah, it's you can't hide. You definitely can't hide. some games are absolutely lung busting and you literally come crawling off the pitch. But I love it, because I think it just everything I am as a player, in terms of like, I really love running fast and running with ball in hand and making difficult tackles and things, like you see all of that in sevens. And then I think they're trying to make it a bit more in terms of seeing people's personalities with the sevens as well. Like, it's definitely a bit of a growth happening in sevens at the moment.
And that is why I think we have a great team, because Vicky, like, I'm sure you'll agree, like watching Ellie over the last few years and stuff is just, she is like, you are so exciting as like as someone who cannot do anything near play rugby. Watching someone like Ellie is one of those people you watch and you're just like, yeah, she just does like all that fun stuff that I cannot do, that I could dream of doing.
She's just so fast. Like, if she has any space, she's gone and she's scoring a try.
I don't feel fast anymore, though, because when you go to sevens, you're not the fast girl anymore. Like, everyone's fast.
That is true. Everyone's fast, everyone's fit, everyone's physical, everyone can pass. And you're just like, oh, right, I thought I was quite good, but now every single person. And also, like, even the teams that, when I was playing sevens, those teams who probably weren't as strong, like, look at Brazil now. They're, like, absolutely tearing up trees, like, so good. And they were a team that, like, you know, if we came up against them, we'd be like, okay, we can definitely win this game. Like, now, yeah, they're, like, doing
we
so
always,
well.
We say, like, there's no so, easy games anymore. Like, you can't underestimate anyone. Like, someone might be at the bottom. It's the same as the men's. Someone might be at the bottom of the table, but they could win, like, a silver medal at one tournament. Like, it's crazy now, which is cool because it's, like, nicer for the crowd because you can't always predict the results. Like, before, I think it was really predictable with who was going to win all the time, whereas now it's a lot closer, which is cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And with sevens as well, LA. You got to go to LA. I'm sorry, but no one gets to go to LA for their sport.
Thing is, right, it is cool. And everyone always says to me, your lifestyle is really cool. And Fleeta will be able to relate to this. You are there to play rugby. And, like, you might get the odd day off or two. But, like, LA, for example, was the second leg of a two-leg back-to-back. So I was in Vancouver and then I went to LA. We had a four-day turnaround between the tournaments. So priority was getting a training session in, recovering, and then we had one day off maybe to explore a little bit of LA. But, like, I actually go to all these places and I don't end up seeing a lot because you're there really to prioritise being an athlete. And, like, we did go to a Lakers game. That was really cool. And I will say that was, like, a bucket list moment. But I don't end up seeing as much as people think. Like, I do spend a lot of time in the hotel recovering or at the tournament.
And that is one of many reasons why you are a professional sports person and I just wouldn't get past the first hurdle. I'd go to LA, I'd be like, this is it, we're on. A great time. I'd absolutely lap it up.
They'd be like, where is Robbie? We're supposed to be at training. He's just like,
Venice Beach.
So much fun. Yeah, I'd be in the museum. Is there museum? No, there's no museums in LA. Anyway, right.
Of all the things you could say that you'd be doing in LA, and you say that you'd go to a museum.
I tried to make myself sound cultured, and just didn't sit with me remotely well. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I thought, "Shut up, you idiot! Don't even bother." A few terms that you both mentioned there that really make me laugh, and I think this leads us on quite nicely to sort of, I want to try and get our base knowledge all in sort of a similar spot. So as we mentioned, we want this podcast to be for anyone, so it doesn't matter what your level of rugby knowledge is. If you're like a Nors and you're coming into it and you're a rugby nerd, great, you're absolutely welcome. But equally, if maybe you've watched something like Full Contact, the Netflix series, in the last couple of months, or you just had the men's Six Nations on the telly, or you were in the pub and it was on the big screens and you were like, oh my God, this rugby, I don't know what's going on. We need to kind of get some terms straight, a few terminology things ironed out that you'll probably hear in the next 6 weeks or so as we talk about the Six Nations. First one that isn't really a technical term, but you both said it a lot, is tearing it up. What does tearing it up mean? It's a proper rugby term, this. No, I don't really understand what it means.
Just doing really well.
Just standing out and tearing it up.
Is it tearing it up? Because it's like, yeah, physical. Like you said, tearing up trees as well. Who's tearing up trees? Why is that a thing?
Brazil.
Where did that come from?
Brazil are tearing up trees.
It's definitely one of the, like, it's definitely one of the sort of, yeah, a proper Norsey term. What about the, can we get things straight with the point system as well? Because often when I watch rugby with people who don't really understand what's going on, they're like, hang on, so you get what points for this and what points for that? So who wants to explain the scoring system in rugby union 15s? So in the Six Nations coming out.
Oh, go on, Ellie. Ahead, Ellie.
So for scoring a try, you get 5 points. And then...
And a try is, Vicky?
When you put the ball over the line, you can't just throw it down. So I coach some boys who come from, like, having not played rugby before. And they kind of run over and almost kind of think that it's like a touchdown and get all excited and, like, run over and then just throw the ball on the floor. And I'm like, Yeah, you kind of just drop the ball. That's a knock on. You have to put it down. So yeah, people who haven't watched it kind of find that a little
ball
bit weird.
Over the line is... Sorry, Ellie, we interrupted
you. No, that's fine. I completely forgot about that really important part of what a try is.
So try 5 points.
Try 5 points. And then the posts, mm-hmm. which are the two sticks that are in the middle of the pitch on either side, you can then take a conversion after scoring a try, which has to be taken in line from where you scored the try. You'll have one kicker in the team. You might have more than one, but you'll usually have one person who kicks off the tee, and that's kind of their speciality, who will then try and kick the ball over the post, and that will give you an additional 2 points. So you maximum can get 7 points for a try and conversion. If you miss, you don't get the 2 points. Then
you just run off back all sad, crying.
Well, you still got 5 points, which is great.
Oh, that's true.
And then another way you can score points is through kicking a penalty. So if you get a penalty, usually within the opposition's half, then you can also kick off the tee and have a go at kicking it between the posts, which would give you 3 points. Again, you have to take that exactly from when the penalty is.
I thought that was very concise.
Really good. That was like a TED talk in point scoring in rugby union. Yeah. Okay, so that's the scoring system. 5 points for a try, 2 points for a conversion, 3 points for a penalty. We're not going to get into the various ways that you can get a penalty in rugby. Let's just leave it at there are thousands of different reasons why you can get given a penalty in rugby. Vicky, the pack. This is a term that you're going to hear a lot on the commentaries in the next few weeks. What the hell do they mean when they're talking about the pack?
So the pack are the forwards. So I was part of the pack. 8 players. That will scrum down, which is why I guess you're called the pack, because you all, when you go into a scrum, you all kind of hold each other. And then when you're trying to explain it, it sounds so weird. And even maybe watching it for the first time, you're like, why are they doing that? It's really strange. But it's a way of obviously contesting for the ball. So the pack.
I think that's a good point as well, that rugby is a weird... I think we need to just be okay with it being... Most sports are a bit weird, and there's loads of stuff that happens in all sports that we're like, why on earth does this happen? But it's just normalised. Now, this is where rugby also doesn't do itself any favours, Ellie, because it confuses us for no reason. What's a back row forward?
You're asking me that question, are you?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Sorry, I should have gone to Vicky, I know, because it didn't work well because Vicky was a back row forward. But anyway, it's fun if you say it and then Vicky sort of maybe picks you up if you say it wrong.
Can I be honest? All of those numbers are similar to me in my head in the scrum.
They're back a forward. They stay over there.
It's all the same to me, really. I know that they're further back in the scrum. I know that.
So, okay, World Cup winner, want to tell us what a back row forward actually is?
Ellie's the kind of winger that, do you remember when Johnny May had to go on the scrum?
Oh.
And started holding Mako's ankle?
Yeah.
So that would be Ellie. She'd be like, I don't know what
a bit of context.
So
Johnny May is like, he was like a winger playing for England for the men, and then he had to, I guess there was a yellow card or something, so someone was off the, one of the forwards was off the pitch, so he needed to substitute, right? And he just didn't know how to do it.
The strangest thing was, I was thinking, what is he normally doing when there is a scrum? Surely he at least looks at it and knows that that kind of isn't the right thing to be doing.
Guys, I do actually scrum in sevens, just as a three, okay? And I know it's...
Yeah, but that's not the same as binding on to your second row, helping your prop out a little bit.
No, I'm with you. And those 2 seconds in the scrum, plenty for me. Plenty.
You know what? I think for all the forwards nonsense, should we just park there? Because it is all a bit confusing, isn't it? Because there are like loads of different, like you said, you've got the prop, you've got the hooker, you've got the second row, back row forwards, etc. What about turnover? Because this is like an important term, right? What are we saying about turnover?
Best way of describing a turnover is when you regain the ball or possession back through quite often a jackal, which is when someone has taken the ball, presents on the floor, and you legally steal the ball by coming over the player and grabbing the ball basically without going off your feet. That's a jackal. That's one way of turning over the ball back.
However, you can't do that if there's already someone else from the opposition in the breakdown.
And the breakdown so is like where the ball is, right?
So this is another bit that I struggle with as a, like trying to coach new players who haven't watched the game, because they don't understand that you can't put your hands in the ruck when there is someone from the opposition already there. Yet if there isn't, you're free to have a go. Yeah, another confusing
Can we say for the purposes of this ruck and breakdown, the same thing, ruck and the breakdown are basically where the ball is, person's been tackled,
same thing.
And everyone can sort of converges.
Yeah, why not make your sport even more complicated by giving the same thing lots of different
names? It's also the Wild West, like who knows, breakdown penalties quite often. In sevens, sometimes I'm like, I have no idea why that was a penalty, but we'll go with it.
Yeah.
And you do, because it's a respectful sport, rugby. You don't have a go at the referee, you just get on with it.
No, I am very respectful.
Said with a straight face.
No, I am.
Good. No, well, good. I'm sure. Honourable mentions. I don't know if we need to explain these, but just terms that you will hear a lot of in the next few weeks or so. You're going to hear commentators love saying going to the well, which again is just like, don't look at me like that. Have you not heard that? I've never heard that.
People
say that all the time.
No, what does that mean? You can explain this one, because Ellie looks as confused as I do.
I hear this all the time. It's like going to the well is like where you sort of, right at the end of the game, game's on the line, you're absolutely exhausted and you're just sort of still going, but you know you've got to dig really deep. Going to the well. Anyway, it's just an honourable mention.
I would have just thought dig deep, not go to the well.
I've heard I'm going to find some going to the well clips this coming weekend. We're done tearing it up. Line speed, you'll hear a lot about line speed. That's like a defensive thing, isn't it? It's all about getting in people's faces, shutting them down.
Lito was good at that, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Line. You know, I'll
take that as my USP. I've got a bit of line speed because I was quite fast as a forward.
In any of your 82 appearances for England, did you ever consider when you are like running up to try and shut someone down with the ball, like just making a funny face as well to try and put them off?
No, not really. Sometimes in training you do that just to try and like put someone off and also have a bit of laugh.
And if you do it in training, why wouldn't you do it in a game?
Don't know, really. If someone was running at me making like a weird noise or pulling a funny face, I'd probably be a bit like,
that's the point, you want to put them off.
So maybe it's a good tactic.
Ellie, when you next play.
We all have scary faces when we play. Like, honestly, look back at photographers' like photos of us playing. We are terrifying.
That just reminded me of that picture of Meg Jones.
I would love to get it up at some point. We're going to have to get that up at some point.
Yeah, but whack it in the group.
Can we please use that as like...
We'll get that on social. Although, is that going to mean that Meg Jones is suddenly going to hate this podcast and we'll have our first enemy?
No, she'll love it.
She looks across between like an 80-year-old woman and like a bulldog.
Basically, she's obviously going at such a force that... And she must have like quite loose skin on her face. And it just all like pulls like this.
Stop. You're being horrible. You can't say she's got loose skin. 80-year-olds have loose skin.
Honestly, you have to see it. That is the only way I can explain it. It looks photoshopped.
It's so funny. It's so good.
We'll get that up. Whack it in the WhatsApp group, please. Immediately after this podcast recording. We should probably... I think that's kind of... Hopefully enough rugby terminology that you've got to get you through sort of watching the Six Nations for the next few weeks. What we will do though is if either of you sort of, because you will, because both of you are or have been professional rugby players, so naturally you're going to use a lot of rugby jargon, and I'm going to pick you up on it if there's stuff we hear that I'm like, no, hang on, don't get what it means. Anyway, right, we have run over time, which means we're not going to do the Six Nations preview. We're going to have to postpone our Six Nations preview until tomorrow. So we'll do another Six Nations preview episode and get that out ahead of the first weekend of the Women's Six Nations, which kicks off in just a few days' time. Don't forget to give us a follow on social if you haven't done so already, your Instagrams and your TikToks, not your exes, because it's ruined. Outside Centre Pod is the account to follow and subscribe. Tell all your friends and family. Share us with your rugby club if you could. We'll see you next time for our preview episode of the Six Nations.
Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.